that we have opportunity for Brother Al to be in service with us on Wednesday evenings. And so we're thankful that he's able to be here. I asked him some weeks ago if he'd be willing to teach on a Wednesday night. He said he would be. And so we're glad we had him scheduled for last week. And then the roof came up. And, well, I guess came up. I don't know if that's a great analogy or not. And we had to hit the roof done. So I said, well, we're going to have to push you back one more week. And he said, oh, that's good. More time to prepare. And so we want Brother Al to come and teach. And I believe he's going to teach on the subject of prayer. And so I'm looking forward to what the word of the Lord is going to say through Brother Al. Why don't you put your hands together and welcome him here tonight. God bless you, Brother Al.
I think the Lord deserves all the praise, all the hand claps. Not me. I don't feel real qualified to teach on prayer. But I certainly share about prayer. And God's called us to be witnesses, to testify about prayer, to testify about what He can do in our lives. And we'll have a little fun tonight, but I want to open with a quick prayer and just say, you know, what's on my heart tonight to share with you. But let's just pray real quick that the Lord would help us to some way get something from this that will bless you, help you in your prayer life. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the goodness and your mercy to all of us. Lord, we know this night there's prayers and needs that have been mentioned in your house tonight, God. Lord, there's things on each and every one of our lives and burdens and stresses and things, God, that only you know about that you can take care of and handle. Lord, we commit it to your hands. We can trust in you. We know we can depend upon you, Lord. You've heard these requests, you've heard these petitions, and you know and you care about each and every one of these situations, and every life, every family, every heart, and every soul that's been mentioned. Lord, we ask that you just bless and touch. Lord, that you heal to the uttermost, and save, and do whatever is necessary, Lord, by your will, in Jesus' name. Jeremiah, probably one of the most favorite books in the Bible, next to Isaiah to me, said in one passage, "For I know thy thoughts that I think toward you." I know all those thoughts, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give and expect it in. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. I learned that early on. Half-hearted, don't get it. We're going to have some fun tonight. You're never going to probably hear this again in this auditorium. Turn your smartphone on if you got one. Lord, forgive me. Pastor, forgive me. Christy, I asked her earlier to do this. She gets to use Google. Anybody's got a different app that can pull up the answer to this question? Do so, and do it quickly, as soon as she's done. Christy, what is prayer?
Stand up. If I got to stand up, you got to stand up.
Has anybody else got one? Nobody's got a smartphone that's got a definition of prayer? Go for it. Somebody. Same thing? You Google it. I didn't want you to Google. I want you to use an app like Bible Gateway or something. Something different. Go ahead. Anybody? If not, I'll continue. Facebook, I don't care. Find it somewhere. Find a definition of prayer. Yeah.
Prayer is a lack of care to ask earnestly, beg, or entreat. It seeks to activate or with an object of worship through the Lord.
So it's basically talking to God, right? That's simple. Tonight, you get to listen in on me. This is a message to me. 35 years of serving God, I have not attained a solid, consistent prayer life like I know God wants me to. That's just being transparent. There is times when I pray and I can feel like God's, I mean, it's there. He's there. I'm close to God. And there's times, we've all experienced it, you pray and it's like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, right? So, these are just a few thoughts about prayer. I'm going to read this, and because I didn't memorize it. I'm a terrible memorizer, so I just read through my notes here, okay? My opening thought says, been said that words give expression to life's meaning and purpose for our very existence. Therefore, choose your words carefully. You may have to, can anybody finish that? Eat them. Exactly. It's been said that be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it, right? There's phrases in the Bible, the Lord said, do not be afraid, or similar are said to be written in the Bible 365 times, one time for every day. Four words from God, do not be afraid, Michelle, anyone. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The Lord knows we all need a little perfecting sometimes. I know I do. My wife will attest to that. When you love someone, you usually have no trouble talking or expressing yourself to them. The same is true in prayer. You talk to him, he's listening, and he's always available. All right? To hear from us. Because why? He loves and cares for us all. It's been said that we work. But when we pray, God works. That's why we pray. Psalms 37:4-5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. John 15:7 says, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. These are all just, if I didn't know any more than these five scriptures, and the Bible was taken away, this would sustain me. Just to know these five scriptures. There's many, many more that I could have brought out, that there's hundreds of scriptures in instances where the Lord even taught about prayer. The apostles spoke of prayer. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Mark 11:23-24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them, and you shall have them. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank. Don't be so quiet on me. Somebody yell or jump up and down or something. You're all too quiet. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. True lasting victory only comes through a consistent prayer life of communication with God daily. God's power is released through prayer and faith in God's being able to meet the need. And I wrote out forms of God's power, and it's just a couple, that could be wisdom. He could demonstrate his power through wisdom to you to deal with life's issues and trials. He can give you ideas to help you manage your life. His power can give you courage to be steadfast in difficult times. His power can give you the confidence to know and to believe God is in control, even though it doesn't look like it sometimes. God's power and forms of power can give you perseverance to stay the test. Power can help you in the changing circumstances, and life gets turbulent, and when life gets crazy, God's power can step on the scene. His power can just do outright miracles. God's power is released into people who pray and for people who pray. On the other side of the equation, and some people may say or think, I've got this, I can handle this, and I'm in control. You're right, you are. And God's hands may be tied. I've been guilty of that so many times. Prayerlessness and not to pray about something and just, this too shall pass. And it will. Prayerless people cut themselves off from God's power. The results may be feeling overwhelmed, overrun, beaten down, pushed around, or just defeated. No victory. But nobody has to live like that. That's the good news. Prayer is the key to unlocking your life, realizing we are dependent on His power. Victory may be just one prayer away to your answer, miracle, or a breakthrough you're in need of. I know God is patiently waiting to hear from us every day, and I've thought about it. Christy gets ecstatic when the kids call, and we talk, and we say, don't you just love it when the kids just call out of the blue and tell you how much they love you? To a parent, that says volumes. God can breathe things into our lives and circumstances for our every need. He knows our every need before we even know we have a need. Prayer makes us prepared for whatever comes our way every day. Don't enter any day without prayer. Jesus knew what he was going to face every day. We don't know what a day or a week will bring into our lives. So much more important for us to prepare our day-to-day lives with lots and lots and lots of prayer. I never prayed serious prayers till I hit 29 years old. I didn't even know how to pray, other than the little prayers my mom gave me. But I don't know if they touch God, but I know sincere prayers touch God. And I've asked myself, and please take this as I'm talking to myself here. This is for me. And if it applies to you and it can help you in your prayer life just to challenge your thinking, I hope it does. Is prayer a priority in our lives? Or is it second fiddle? Or isn't it? Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. What moves God? And I've asked myself, what really moves God? Faith. When you have a strong, close relationship with God, it's like you can have all the trust and confidence knowing that it's going to be okay, right? It's going to be all right. It's not about how loud, how long, or how demonstrative you pray. When you pray, pray and believe and exercise your faith in your prayers and believe that God can hear and understand. And what amazes me so many times, all the thousands of languages in the world, and they don't trick or confuse God in any way, shape, or form. Our dependence, God dependence, our dependence. And I think about, what's God dependent upon? Not a whole lot, but I'm dependent on God. So God dependence is prayer going beyond my abilities and asking and believing by faith for God's supernatural power and presence to work in our lives and the lives of others. I can only go so far. He expects me to go that far. He expects me to do what I can do. The Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I have to do my part. We know he'll do his part. Psalm 65:2 says, oh, that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. When I was a kid, my mom kind of put the fear of God in me with a willow switch. But I wasn't afraid of God. She'd always tell me, you got what you deserve. And she might say something like, you got what you asked for. You ever hear that? And then you got the spanking. But I learned, probably not until I was probably 30, that it really dawned on me, don't be afraid to ask God anything. He can handle it. He's not over in a corner scratching his head and wondering or wringing his hands and thinking, how am I going to take care of that one for him? You made such a mess of it. How am I going to fix that? He'll fix it. Who's ever tried to pray about your deepest needs and found themselves faint-hearted? We begin to pray, but we soon find our minds wandering. We realize it's not flowing like we'd like it to or it should. It's a struggle. I guess maybe that's when one of those times we have to literally pray through until we're praying in the Spirit. I would love to have Pastor preach on that sometime and really, really teach on praying in the Spirit. I can remember in Aurora, this is not in my notes, but the first time I ever walked into an apostolic church, well, the first time was a storefront, and it scared me to death. I left and never went back to church for 10 years. But the next time, when I was 19, you know, I was ready to go to a church, went to a storefront, and I thought, nah, this is crazy. I can't handle this. 10 years later, I'm 29, I go to Aurora, First Apostolic Church, Bella Calthorpe's church. And I walked in the door, and I had probably 3 Bible study lessons. I think we were in a tabernacle plan at that point in search for truth. I didn't get 10 feet inside the door, and there was such a, awesome is an overused word, but awesome presence. I knew I was in the presence of God's people. I had no doubt in my mind, God's in this place. And that's where I want us to be here in Sandwich, Illinois. When people walk in those doors, that they are just consumed and overwhelmed by the presence and the power of God because of our prayers. This city needs prayer. Our families need prayer. We have prayer requests. I don't know any other thing, any other way, anything else to do to accomplish things in the kingdom of God without first going to prayer. If we keep on praying more earnestly, we'll reach a point. My wife misspelled it. She put pint. It's point in our praying. We'll have flow, and it'll be effective. It can be a battle, but we can persist. We'll find out and find our breakthrough. Our prayers do make a difference. Even though the devil or the world or your friends or your family or your own sometimes doubts will tell you, why am I even bothering? Just pray. So it boils down to one thing, just down to this. We do life all on our own power and energy, or we allow God to help us. But we have to be totally convinced that He's able and He's willing to be our help. David said, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, Psalms 121 and 2. David understood how to receive the help, the power, the wisdom, the direction he needed to direct Israel and his own life. He'd learned early on in his walking relationship with God that he was needy and very dependent on God's help every day. Every day. This isn't a Sunday thing. This is a Monday through Sunday thing. And David knew that. In fact, God is well able to handle anything we bring to Him in faith and asking according to His will. He has the power and He's sovereign to do whatever He wants to help us. But He will not violate His word. So sometimes we may need to pray the word and claim the promises of God's word. Praying the word. I learned that early on too in Aurora. Praying the word. And it came out of my father's house, disciple makers or something. I don't, Christy, remember where we even got it. But praying the word of God. You can't go wrong. I don't know how else to put it. He's bound by His word. If we are obedient to His word, nothing's impossible or too hard for God. A big problem to God is an open invitation for Him to give you a miracle, and in return, we're blessed. God's omnipotent. He has all power. So who limits God? I would have to say me. Jesus said, as your faith is, be it unto you. So we pray for more faith, for bigger answers as needed. We must be persuaded he's able and more willing to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory if we just bring them to him. Psalm 62:11 says, God has spoken once, twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Mark 4:39 says, he rebuked the winds and it became calm. John 2:7 through said, he turned water into wine. It doesn't matter how big, how little you think your prayer is. I believe in my heart, God's concerned about it. It may seem very insignificant to you sometime or someone else. I've told people at work, and they look like I'm from another planet, and I'll pray for you about that. And they look at you like, you will? And I go, yes, I will. It surprises them to know that someone would be willing to pray for them. Jeremiah 27:5 says, I've made the earth, and man, and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power, by my outstretched arm, and I give it to the one who's pleasing in my sight. Oh, what a promise. You please him, he's going to please you. It's not a contest to say, oh, if I don't please him, he won't. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. But God wants to please us, and he gets pleased when people come to him. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked on them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Thank you. Somebody believes it. We must bring God's power into our lives daily. Daily. Not weekly or monthly or when a need arises, but daily. I learned early on, too, that, I don't know if it's true, but in my mind, I'd rather be prayed up, stored up, and have some reserve in my prayer bank so that when something does happen, I don't have to pray through before God will answer. I may not have the time or the option to do that. I need something quick. I may need it quick. So we must bring God's power into our lives. Sometimes I think we haven't even scratched the surface of what God would love to do for us and through us, by his power, not our power. I posted something on Facebook this week. I saw it and I had to repost it. And we have a lot of talented people here that God has blessed us with in music and ministry and willingness to teach and preach and love people and greet people and usher and to do all the necessary things that a church requires. But without the anointing, the talent, like I said earlier, will only take you so far. They'll walk in the door and see the talent, but will they feel the presence? That's where we come in. If we pray, this town, I was given a vision of a revival and a tent meeting with hundreds and hundreds of people in a tent across the street probably 5 years ago. And I believe God wants to do that. We must bring God's power into our lives daily. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes I think we haven't even scratched the surface what God would love to do for us, through us, by his power, not ours. We sing it often. Lord, we want more love. We want more power to truly know someone. We have to, at some point, communicate with them. Right? Or you could call it starting a meaningful relationship, or you could call it prayer. When we truly value a relationship, we'll maintain and build on its success and desire for it to grow. You may sent someone a message or a text, or you may Twitter or a private message them or Facebook them, or you just make an old-fashioned phone call or drop by and pay them a visit to say, I've been thinking of them and just weren't able to stay away because I want our relationship to go to the next level. I believe this church is ready to go to the next level. Do you believe that with me? Praise the Lord. I think God's ready. I think He wants us to go to the next level. I believe we have a pastor and a pastor's family and ministry and wife that can take us to the next level. But the next level requires us to engage in prayer. And I don't mean just come to church at 6 o'clock and pray for 10 minutes and go sit down and talk to each other. And if I get out of bounds, Pastor, correct me, but we got to pray. I mean, 6 to 6:30, 9:30 to 10, before Sunday morning, you know, maybe even before a Wednesday, maybe even another night of service. As is our relationship with our Lord, we need to maintain a good, long-standing relationship with Him because we value that relationship above all. I have said it, and I can live without a lot of things, but God's not one of them. I need Him more and more every day. Send Him a prayer request. Send Him a friend request. How many friend requests and how many prayer requests and how many Facebooks and how many answers and tweets and private messages? Think about how many you did and how many I think about how many I did. And Christy's gotten after me. Get your face out of the phone. She's right. If I talked to God as much as I looked at my phone, oh, what a relationship I would have. Okay? When God gets involved, things happen. So when we pray, expect some things to occur and happen. Sometimes it may be exactly what you and I may have thought would happen, or maybe not. But if and when He's involved, it'll work out for the best interest of us. Always, 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 amen. Amen. Prayer is a big, wide open door with a big invitation sign telling God, it's okay to get involved. Work on my behalf. Enter in. Commune with Him. Get intimate with Him. God's interested in our prayers. You know why? Because He's interested in you and me. The devil would tell you he's not concerned. He doesn't care. He's on vacation, like they told Job's good buddies told Job. Why waste your effort? But I am convinced nothing in this universe matters as much to Him as what's going on in your day-to-day lives. This day and every day. Nothing tells me and proves to me this fact any better than Calvary. His passion to save. Amen? And to be our Lord and Savior. We're looking for God to respond to our worship and our prayers. And we must pray and develop good, consistent spiritual habits, daily prayer, to talk to Him. He's waiting. If I expect to do anything for the kingdom of God, I'll have to be empowered by Him. My strength, my carnal human power will only take me so far, like I said earlier. Lord, let our prayers be for Your love and power to be manifested in us and through us. So that when folks come in, it's just not a howdy do, it's a I love you, and they can sense that. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost to be shed abroad. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications, because He's inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Proverbs 8:34 and 35 says, and I'm almost done. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For who so findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. I want to be able to touch God's heart and to know He's paying attention to my prayers. God bless.
Yeah, Brother Peterson, when you help me, there is something Brother Al would like for you to have. It is a prayer wheel that helps you in different areas of praying. And there's nothing wrong with having something, even an app, something that reminds me that I need to pray. I was thinking as Brother Al was teaching, and you did a wonderful job, Brother Al. I commend you. I commend you, Sister Christy, for obviously printing up the notes, I guess, because she. But why don't you stand? I was thinking as you were teaching, Brother Al, it's great to have good church. It's great to have good services. It's great to be among good people. But there's something I need to be reminded of, and I believe this with all my heart. You can make it to heaven without being in a good church. You can make it to heaven without having a good pastor. You can make it to heaven without having good music, good services. But I don't know if you can make it to heaven without having a good prayer life. That's how essential, that's how important it is to pray. And let me just say this, and you take it for what it's worth. I believe the reason why we struggle to pray at church is because we struggle to pray at home. Because if prayer was something that we did on a regular basis and prayer was something that we had an intimate relationship with, it wouldn't be difficult for us to come to church and gather together and pray. Let's just be honest. And I would say this, if there's one thing that I'm not even going to say the North American church, if there's one thing the church needs more than anything else in this day and age, it's people of prayer. Prayer warriors. People that know how to get in touch with God. People that know how to connect with things in the spirit realm. I've got some friends of mine that I know. I grew up with them. One gentleman I can tell you in particular. And it became obvious very early on in his ministry that he walked with God. That he had a prayer life. And it was mentioned many times in hearing, even when other people were talking about him, they would say, you know that guy has a prayer life. There is fruit in his life. You know that he walks with God. What a testimony would be made in my life that people would look at me and say, you know by his life he walks with God. You know he has a prayer life. He gets alone with God. What a testimony that I would have that kind of relationship, that it would be evident in the eyes of others that me and the Lord have a relationship, that we communicate, not just every now and then, but we communicate on a very regular, frequent basis. Lord Jesus, there's one subject that we need more and more taught, Lord, and certainly implemented in our lives. Is there something, Lord, that the disciples looked at you and said, Lord, teach us to pray? They saw the evidence of what prayer did you. God manifested in the flesh. They saw the healings. They saw the response of the people. They saw the way that you walked and you talked, God. They witnessed, God, your everyday doing, and they looked at you. And the one thing that they requested, they did not say, Lord, teach us how to heal. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to teach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to get people to respond. What they looked at you and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because if we learn how to pray, all of that stuff will come to pass. We will be people that heal. We will be people that minister. We will be people, God, that others respond to because we walk with you. Help us, Lord, in our daily lives and devotion. God, help us, Lord. What we fail to do here as we gather together, Lord, is it's symptomatic of what we fail to do in our own individual lives, God. And help us to have a prayer life with you, God. I know it's cliche and I know it's an old adage, but no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, a lot of prayer, a lot of power. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for the word that was brought tonight, God.
Let it enrich our lives, God. Let us not just be hearers, but let us be doers of your word. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.